Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm Ryan Oliver alongside my man Chase Carroll. Chase, we've been gone for a little bit. That's on me though, guys. My AC's been out at my house for like 11 or 12 days, so I'm just now getting back in my house. So sorry we weren't on a little bit of a break there, but we'll definitely be back with weekly podcasts at a minimum here. So thanks for bearing with me, Chase. I know I've been kind of out of pocket for the past couple of weeks.
No, man, I'm just glad that what you've got going on has been situated, and I've been missing Wizards talk. So I'm just glad we're back and definitely going to be doing this weekly for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just jump right in here. We never really got a chance to recap Summer League here on the pod and kind of give our thoughts in terms of how we thought the team looked, how we thought the players looked. I guess the result doesn't really matter as much in terms of wins and losses, but what was your overall impression of Summer League? Obviously, you probably want to focus on just the main guys that we're interested in here on the big team.
Yeah, man, I feel like we got to see a lot from the guys we wanted to see. We have a lot of young guys on this team that will be on the Wizards roster. So I was really looking to see what Bilal Coulibaly could do in his rookie year, what Johnny Davis could do building off of year one. That was a really poor performance in Summer League. So I really wanted to see what he could do in year two. And as far as those two guys, I was really impressed the entire Summer League with both of them. You see Bilal Coulibaly come in as a rookie, 18 years old. They did just finish their French season, so he is fresh off of basketball. But so you'd think he'd probably have some weak legs going. He is 18 years old, so that definitely played to his advantage. But you immediately saw the athleticism from him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We harped on this plenty that we just wanted to see what he could do defensively in year one here in Summer League. We didn't expect much from him offensively, and to be honest with you, I think he actually showed more offensively than I was even expecting to start out. He is clearly strong in transition. He's clearly going to be a problem wherever his athleticism can benefit him. And transition is one of those areas. He already can move in transition with the ball and attack the rim. I think we saw that multiple times in the Summer League. He was able to get some and-one opportunities in transition. And we saw him able to run out on the break, catch a pass and throw down a dunk. We saw that multiple times from him. So I was just super impressed overall with Bilal Coulibaly, both offensively in transition, but defensively blocking shots, over two blocks a game in the Summer League. And they were all, for the most part, really impressive blocks. Some of them on chase down blocks, some of them pinning the ball on the glass. Like, we got to see everything athletically that we wanted to see from our 18-year-old top 10 pick. And I think we actually saw a little bit more on offense than we expected.
Yeah, I feel like I want to start with the defense. I was wondering if I was going to be maybe disappointed with that going in, just wondering if the game speed might just that adjustment might be a problem. But I was really impressed with that side of the ball. I feel like the offense I already knew was going to be a work in progress. I feel like that was kind of a given. So I didn't have much expectation for like on ball creation and things like that. He did do a good job getting to the rim on drives. And I felt like as the Summer League went along, he got better at finishing at the rim. I feel like a little bit in the first couple games, he was a little bit reckless going to the rim, and kind of it almost was like he didn't have a full plan. He was just attacking, which, hey, look, you love to see the aggression, though. I would much rather you go and not be afraid to attack than look really timid like Johnny Davis did last year. So I have no problem with that. I really like that it seemed like the coaching staff was willing to just throw Bilal out there and let him do a variety of things. We saw him play off the ball and get some catch and shoot three opportunities. We saw him play on the ball a little bit and got to see him handle and kind of try to create and do that type of thing. But like I said, with the defense, and as you mentioned, that really popped. And that's something that's going to translate immediately. And I feel like in the real NBA games, he's going to be a pretty good defender from the jump. Now, I don't think he's going to be locked down or anything like that, because rookies are rarely great defenders from the jump. I feel like the last like wing defender that was really good as a rookie was like Matisse Thybulle, and he's just like a really rare type of defender in terms of that, as you know, being like a rookie and that can make that type of impact. But Bilal definitely has skills that are just going to pop. He's going to make defensive plays, I think, right off the bat. And we saw that, like you mentioned, the blocks that we saw, his athleticism. I feel like the other guys on the other team maybe underestimated his ability to kind of get up there and contest, despite, you know, obviously he has a really long wingspan, but a lot of shot blocking is about not being afraid of getting dunked on or kind of, you know, looking foolish. And he was clearly not afraid. So I just like to see that aggressiveness, not being timid, and the fearlessness to just go out there and compete. So I feel like that was my main takeaway from Bilal is, yeah, he's raw in certain areas, and that's to be expected when he's a 18-year-old at the time. I know he's, I believe today is his birthday, or was it yesterday? I know it was either today or yesterday, so he's 19 now. But I was really happy with what I saw from Bilal. I went in with very low expectations in terms of I didn't want to put a lot of pressure on him to do a certain thing that I had to see, but I really did want to see the defense translate immediately. So that was really nice to see. So yeah, I was definitely happy with Bilal.
Absolutely, man. And I wanted to see confidence. As you said, Johnny Davis came out last year and didn't show confidence from the jump. And I think that translated to the regular season with him. So I wanted to at least see a confident player in Bilal. And I think we 100% got that against, I believe it was OKC. He is willing to take the game clinching shot at the end of the game and he hits it. He tells everybody after the game, I'm made for shots like this. Like, I love hearing that from my 18-year-old first-round pick. Like, this guy has confidence that, unfortunately, Johnny didn't come in with. And we'll get to Johnny Davis here in a second. You know what? Actually, I'll just go to him now. I was really impressed with what I saw out of Johnny Davis in year two. He shot 42.9% from three in the summer league. That's one thing that I really wanted to see from him, was him, you know, being able to hit that outside shot. If he's going to be a contributor in the NBA at this level, he's going to have to be a 3-and-D player. I think we know he's not going to blow by anybody with his speed, and he's going to have to use his strength to his advantage a lot. But he's going to need to show that 3-point ability. And for the most part, he was able to show that in the summer league. 16.3 points per game. I'm going to keep harping on this one with Johnny Davis. I'm throwing his draft position out the window. Tommy Shepard's no longer here. I'm just pretending like we got him in the second round and anything he gives us from this point is gravy on top. But I really genuinely believe that he can be a great role player in the NBA. I think we've seen now the progression from the end of the season. He got to show a little bit of defense. He got to show a little bit more offensively. He didn't have, I would say, a great end of the year, but it was so much better than the start of his rookie season. And that just translated here in the summer league, night and day compared to year one, for Johnny Davis, really attacking in transition as well. Like Bilal Coulibaly, he really thrived in transition. And that's going to be a big for a player like Johnny Davis, who's going to make his money on the defensive end. If he can be a defensive pest, a Josh Hart type of player, not saying he's going to be as good as Josh Hart or anything like that, especially this season, but I think he can develop into that type of player, just a 3-and-D type mold. And we need a player like that still. So I'm throwing where he was picked. He's not going to live up to the 10 overall pick most likely, but he can be a very solid contributor for the Wizards. And I'm just excited from what I saw in summer league. I don't think I expected him to play that well, especially offensively.
I was very pleased with what I saw from Johnny. I don't think it was an amazing performance, but I definitely thought it was an encouraging performance. And that was really what I wanted to see. He was the player I was, aside from Bilal, which is obvious, and the rookies, I just feel like he was the player I was really most focused on in terms of just what kind of mindset was he going to have. And that was really what I was concerned about, was just, is he going to go out there with more confidence than he had the previous summer, which is a low bar, but I was really glad to see kind of initially from the jump, you saw that aggressiveness, you saw him playing with at least more confidence than he had previously. And that was really encouraging to me. I don't care as much about the stats and the raw numbers and all that. To me with Johnny, it's, are you going to go out there and believe in yourself that you're out there and you were a top 10 pick for a reason? I agree that you kind of need to just throw the draft slot that he was picked in, you need to throw it out the window at this point, because it doesn't matter anymore. It is what it is. There's nothing that you can do about the fact that he was picked 10th. I think that looking at him as a player that it like you kind of mentioned, a second, you know, Okwudu, like I'm gonna treat him like he's a second round pick, and everything he gives us is just a positive, if you know, that type of thing. I think that's a good way to look at it. I think he is a player that is going to be a glue guy. And if he sticks in the NBA, it's not going to be a high level scorer or a great shooter. I sincerely doubt that. But I think that he could be a Bruce Brown, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo type of player, where he's, you know, Dante DiVincenzo is a better shooter. But what I mean is just that kind of a glue guy that every team does need, though. You need those kind of guys to kind of to do the dirty work, knock down hopefully an open shot, and play tough defense. I mean, that's the kind of guy that every team could use. So I think it's just seeing those signs. Okay, his shot looks better, his form looks better, he's attacking the rim, he's confident, he's playing good defense, he moves his feet well. I thought all of those things were there. I don't think it was amazing. I don't think it blew me away, but I do definitely feel like it was encouraging. And I think that's all you really could ask for going in, based on what we saw last year and even during most of the regular season last year, where we just saw a player who didn't even look like a first round pick. And so at least this year, you could see little glimpses of, okay, like I see, you know, some type of first round talent, little flashes of it, even if we don't think he was worth the 10th pick. I think you're right about just throwing that out the window at this point. And I think there's no reason to be discouraged by anything that we saw from Johnny Davis. At minimum, he's going to be a good defender. So I think that everything else with his game will slowly come along. And I think the hope is just that he can translate that to finding a nice little niche and being an impact player going forward.
Yeah, I think when you looked at the roster heading into the summer league, you looked at it and were like, is there really a role there for Johnny Davis this season, year two? This is a new front office. They didn't draft Johnny Davis, and who knows what they think of him. But I think after the summer league, you can absolutely say, yeah, we can get him minutes this season. Obviously, it's pretty crowded there. Jordan Poole, we just drafted Bilal, so it depends on where they want to put him at the two, at the three, even at some point guard eventually. I don't think this year for Bilal he'll get any point guard play, but I think that could be a potential spot for him moving forward. But I think you looked at what Johnny Davis did in this summer league and said, yeah, we can absolutely use a defender like that in our rotation. So we'll see where they start putting guys like Kispert. Maybe he plays more three this year. Maybe Bilal just isn't ready for NBA time yet. But I think there's absolutely minutes after this summer league for a guy like Johnny.
What were your impressions of the other draft pick the Wizards made, Tristan Vukcevic? I finally got that name down, Vukcevic. I believe I'm saying it right now. I hope I am. But what were your impressions of the Serbian big man?
I'll be honest with you, I was pretty impressed, especially offensively. We saw a little bit of it at the NBA draft combine that really got you and I pretty intrigued. Some of the moves he was able to make in transition, some of the moves he's able to make with the ball in his hands as a 7-foot guy. He's not Jokic or anything, but the guy can really pass the ball when he's initiating the offense as a 7-footer. And he's still young. He's only 20 years old. I think we saw enough from him in this summer league to say that he should be over in the NBA immediately. And I don't know if I've seen anything to say whether he will or not. I know he was taking his jersey photos next to Bilal. So that kind of tells me maybe he will be on the NBA roster. I hope that's the case, but I really think he showed enough, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if he's a 5 or a 4 defensively. That's going to take some time to determine that. But he showed one step back three was just ridiculous. He hit his defender with a nice hesitation move, step back, and hit it from as a, you know, we saw Kristaps Porzingis doing stuff like that this year, and he's not Kristaps Porzingis or anything. I'm not going to say that. He's a second round pick, so I'm tempering my expectations for him, but I genuinely love everything that I saw on the offensive side of the ball with him. He's able to attack with the ball in his hands. He's able to hit the outside shot. He showed more on the inside part of the game than I knew he had. So I'm overall pretty impressed with what I saw out of our second round pick.
Yeah, I feel like he was exactly what I expected. I feel like he did everything about at the level I expected. I expected him not to play great defense, and I didn't feel like he played great defense.
Agreed, agreed.
He showed the skill and the shot that I expected to see, and so I was pleased. I don't think I thought it was a great performance or a bad performance, but I just thought I was pleased overall because it was about what my expectations were. And what I think I wanted to see most from Tristan was, did he look like he belonged in the NBA? Because I think sometimes, especially with the overseas players, I feel like sometimes maybe it's just the Jan Vesely thing, but not that every European player is Jan Vesely. I don't mean it like that, but it's just, I feel like as a Wizards fan, he was just looked so bad that you just kind of had this fear of like, okay, is he going to look like he belongs? And then there was really quickly where I was like, okay, yeah, he looks like the player that I saw on film and the combine and that type of thing. So I was just pleased to see he looked like he belonged. And I was pleased to see that skill and the shot making, the kind of the court awareness and that type of thing translate at least to the summer league level. And that was very encouraging to me in terms of wanting to see him come over this year. I was listening to some other podcasts and they were talking about how he was a great draft and stash pick, and I was thinking to myself, man, like I really don't want to just stash him. Like I would much rather him, even if he's not going to play much on the Wizards, I would much rather him play on the go-go and then just dress for some, you know, most Wizards games too, but also play for the go-go to get his real minutes and things like that. And since the team isn't really focused on winning games, it's more about building for the future, why not just give him 15 minutes a night as a backup if we're not going to sign another big, which I do still think another move is probably coming at some point. But right now it's only Muscala backing up Gafford. So I would much rather Vuk play than Muscala. So, but my hunch is that if he does come over, he'll probably play much more on the go-go than he does on the Wizards. But anyway, I digress. My point is I don't want that for him. I feel like he showed enough where it's like, okay, let's get him to the big squad or the G League squad, and let's get him real repetition here in the States. But I was really pleased with what I saw, and even more satisfied, I should say, with that pick in the second round. And that's the type of player I think you definitely should take a flyer on.
Absolutely. And to your point, you said it, they just have Mike Muscala backing him up. They haven't made another move at center, which to me is surprising. I feel like that's definitely coming on the horizon, but as currently constructed, there's plenty of time for him to play in the NBA. Even I think for a team that I wouldn't expect to be, they're not going to be trying to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this year, but they're absolutely going to be trying to develop talent. And at the center position, they don't even have a guy on a two-way deal or anything for their center possession. They let Jay Huff walk. So really, the time's there for a young center, and I really think it should be him. I don't want to see him stashed over either. I think it just makes sense to give him some NBA run, and if he's not ready for that, which he probably won't be as a rookie, then yeah, give him some G League time. That's what I'd much prefer over him playing overseas and maybe not getting as much run, knowing that he'll be moving over to the NBA the next season, most likely. Like that, they have no incentive to play a young guy who will likely not be staying with them over there, in my opinion. I feel like that's how it often goes. So yeah, get him over here in our system.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's definitely what I hope to see. Let's talk about the two guys that came over from the Golden State Warriors, Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Ryan Rollins. What was your overall impression from those two guys? Did it meet your expectation, or what'd you think?
I think it met my expectations for what I thought each of them was. Ryan Rollins, I think, is a really solid scoring guard. I don't think he's a point guard. We'll mention Jared Butler here in a little bit. I think more of a true point guard than Ryan Rollins. So I'm glad we were able to get one in the building. But I think Rollins is a great score and plug 1-2 guard. He's obviously too small probably to play the two, so he'll play some one. But the guy can score. Like, I think we knew that. He was a good scorer in the G League this past year before an injury. And he showed a little bit with the Warriors. So I don't think I'm surprised by him. And then Patrick Baldwin Jr., great shooter. I think we also knew heading in that this is going to be his calling card in the NBA. He's going to be probably a stretch four, offensive-minded four. And he showed everything that I expected from him. He hit a couple really deep threes to show his range off. He showed even a little bit defensively that I didn't know he had. I don't think he's going to be a consistently good defender or anything, especially at this age. But I think he showed enough to say he could develop in that area. But overall, I'm not overly excited or under, hate either one of them either. I think I saw what I expected from both of them, and I think there could be a role for each of them this year on this roster.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I feel like I wasn't that familiar with Ryan Rollins' game going in. I was a little bit more familiar with Baldwin. And so from what I did see going before Summer League, Ryan Rollins was about what I expected, definitely more of a two than a one. I think he has some slight point guard ability, but I definitely don't think that that would be his role in the NBA. I definitely think he's more of that Jordan Clarkson ilk of combo guard, where Clarkson's actually not that bad of a playmaker, and he actually did a pretty good job of running some point guard last year for the Jazz. But I guess the more of the younger version of Jordan Clarkson, who was more of just the guy that was trying to get buckets, and you need those guys. So that's not a criticism. Jordan Clarkson is a very important, archetype of player in the NBA. And that's more of the ilk I see Ryan Rollins in. So it's about what I expected in that regard. He definitely has the ability to score. We saw, some playmaking chops, but it was about what I expected. There were some good, there were some bad. I don't think he's a great defender. Obviously, there's Patrick Baldwin Jr. Definitely didn't expect either of them to be good defenders. So that's not surprising. I do think that people should pump the brakes a little bit about Baldwin, needing to be a key cog in the rotation definitely next year. I'm for playing the young guys, but I also think that it has to be within reason, because we have a good amount of young guys and you can't play them all at the same time if you want to have proper structure in terms of spacing and the defense taking the team seriously and that type of thing. So I think that Baldwin definitely should get some playing time on the main team, especially if he shows more obviously as the season goes on. But I think he needs time with the go-go to kind of get some more experience under his belt before we kind of I saw a little bit of, he definitely has to be in the rotation as the backup four. And I'm kind of okay, I think that there's talent there and I'm excited to have him and Rollins on the team, but I don't think that he's the summer league performance was enough to say he definitely should be in the rotation, the 9 or 10 man rotation. I don't think that that has been decided by any means. What do you think of that? Do you think that you saw enough from either of those guys that makes you think they're definite rotation players right now going, kind of projecting into the season?
No. And I don't think either of them should be expected to be that. I think they were both kind of throw-ins on the Jordan Poole deal. They're definitely guys you'd like to have in the building compared to some old guys or like a Taj Gibson or something like that, or an Xavier Cooks. He's still on the roster for whatever reason.
He catches all types of strays on this podcast.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've thrown a Xavier Cooks stray, so I thought I'd get one in there. I think as far as next season, I wouldn't expect them to get good playing time immediately. Maybe injury would cause one of them to get in to the rotation, because obviously they're on the roster. They're going to be on the 15-man roster more likely than not heading into the season. So I'm not going to be super upset if they play or anything, but I wouldn't expect either of them to be cracking the rotation probably day one.
Yeah. I think that overall their performance was encouraging, but it wasn't anything worth writing home about. I feel like that they're good young prospects to have on the team, and I don't want to sound like a wet blanket because I am excited to have them on the roster. I just think that when you have pretty solid summer league results and then people immediately project them, he has to be in the rotation, and it's okay, it's not like he was averaging 20 points a game or something where it's he's definitely balling out of control like Cam Whitmore was or something like that, where it's the Rockets might have a hard time keeping Cam Whitmore off the floor if he's going to play, as well as he played in the summer league or that type of thing. But I'm definitely excited. I think the summer league overall was really encouraging. Bilal didn't disappoint. Big Vuk, played pretty well, and Johnny Davis showed that confidence that you wanted to see. So I feel like those are like the main things, like Johnny Davis showing confidence, Bilal showing that he has the defensive chops. Yeah, we saw some good offensive flashes. Definitely is going to be a terror in transition. So I think that there's nothing but positivity coming from the summer league, and I'm really excited to see what the young guys can do going into the season. But speaking of young guys, the Wizards added two two-way players since we last spoke, Chase. Eugene Amaruyi, who last played for the Pistons, I believe on a 10-day last year, and he was also in 2022, he was on a two-way with the Thunder. So that's the kind of the Will Dawkins connection there. He's a 26-year-old small forward / power forward. What are your thoughts on Amaruyi?
To be honest with you, I don't have many thoughts. I will say he's clearly a energy guy. He goes in and he works hard. Like, by all accounts, they need guys like that in the room. Hopefully he's a replacement for a guy like Anthony Gill, or don't want to keep bashing on my guy Xavier Cooks, but hopefully that's the kind of role that he'd be filling in for on this two-way. But he's a 26-year-old small forward. Like, I think we know what he is in the NBA at this point, and he's going to be a hustle guy, energy guy. Need those. So with three two-way spots now instead of two, I'm not super upset having one of them filled with a guy like that. Someone who, if you really need a jump start, your guys are being, you know, I hate to say this, but the Wizards over the last decade of my life, they haven't had an energy guy, a guy that you look at and like, yeah, that dude works hard. Like, who's been that guy on the roster in the last few years? I can't name one. So obviously you need guys like that to push you in practice. I'm not too upset about using one of the two ways on him, but again, I don't know a super ton on him. By all accounts, everywhere he's gone seems like they like him. So Will Dawkins obviously knows what he's getting out of this guy.
So at first I was thinking, what is the Wizards want with a 26-year-old small forward who's really more of like a small ball five type, really? I mean, he's not really a three because he can't shoot and he can't really dribble. So I was thinking in my head, like, what do the Wizards really want with this type of player? But then I had this flash of when the Pistons played the Wizards last season. And I remember, not that he had a crazy game, I only think he had a few buckets, but I remember watching the game and he was out hustling the Wizards like on multiple possessions. And I'd never heard of this guy. And so I remembered, I had that memory flash in my head watching that game. And it was a terrible game. Like, the two teams were terrible. So things like that stood out. And I remember thinking, wow, who is this guy that's on a 10-day that's out hustling all these big, you know, like the players that are making $30 million a year and things like that, like the bigger name players. So with Amaruyi, I feel like what the benefit of a player like him is, he's a tone setter and he's good for the culture. Like, that's the benefit of having a player like that. There's no upside in his game. He's not going to be like, oh, maybe they found a diamond in the rough that's going to be like a really solid rotation player. I don't see that unless his shot comes along. If his shot miraculously comes along, then there might be a rotation player in there somewhere, maybe not for the Wizards, but for some team. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. But I do think that he's the kind of guy that in practice, and if there's injuries or something, you could do a lot worse than him in terms of, is he going to go out there and give you a lot of effort? Is he going to make the other players on the other team work hard to get rebounds, get loose balls? He honestly kind of reminds me of, not their games are similar, but just the type of grit like that Jordan Goodwin had, where he brought like a toughness when he came on the court and he wasn't scared, even though he was on a two-way at a point. And he just came in with a certain confidence and a certain swagger that he wasn't going to back down, no matter who he was guarding, no matter who he was up against. He's not the tallest. He's not the most skilled. He's not the best dribbler or shooter, but Jordan Goodwin is just a solid basketball player and a solid tough guy. And I feel like Eugene Amaruyi is just that kind of guy. He's going to be a guy that's good for the culture. He's going to be a guy that's going to play hard, and he's going to be a guy that's going to make the other players earn everything in practice, earn every loose ball, earn every rebound, and he's just going to grind you. So I feel like you could do a lot worse with a two-way than him. I don't think he's a guy that the fan base should be excited about any upside, but I think you could do a lot worse in terms of the energy, the hustle, the effort he's going to give. I think that a player like him is good for the culture.
Absolutely. You need a junkyard dog in your locker room. Every team has one. We haven't had one in a few years. I say maybe Montrezl Harrell, but he had a little attitude that came with it. I think you get a guy like him in the building. I'm all about it with one of our three two-way spots. Still have one that's yet to be filled. So I hope we fill that one soon with a young player as well.
Yeah, well, the Wizards recently added Jared Butler, combo guard. I believe he played at Alabama. He was the 40th pick by the Pelicans, but traded to the Jazz.
Baylor.
Say that again?
He played at Baylor.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Played at Baylor. Apparently, whatever I read on the internet was incorrect. I'm not super familiar with his game, but I do know he had a heart issue that kind of caused him to fall in the draft to the 40th pick. But he is a NCAA champ, first-team All-American, 6'3 guard. What are your impressions of him?
Well, I really liked what I saw from him in this summer league, but obviously he's a Final Four most outstanding player with Baylor in 2021. So he has that big playability. Obviously, in big games, he stepped up to the occasion and was the best player in the nation in his way to a national championship. So that was just a couple seasons ago. That heart condition is unfortunately what made him fall in the draft to pick 40, but he's obviously a very talented player. I think with a two-way deal, with him just being 22 years old, this is the exact kind of guy that you want with your two ways. Just a high upside young guard, averaged 20 points per game, 4.3 assists, 1.8 steals on 50% shooting in the summer league just this past week, 48% from three. So this is a guy who is lighting it up in the summer league, including against the Wizards. He had 22 against the Wizards on 8 of 14 shooting, 31 points in his final summer league game. So he was really cooking there towards the end of summer league, much better than I think really any of the guards that were currently on our summer league team. I think he outperformed them. We saw Quentin Jackson. He was released from his two-way contract with us and replaced with Jared Butler. And I really do not mind that at all. I think Jared Butler is the type of guard that we should be getting in the building. And, you know, all credit to Quentin Jackson. He's clearly a great athlete, but I don't think he was an NBA guard. So I'm not super upset with letting him go. I wish him well, hope he goes somewhere and is able to latch on to a team, but it just didn't make sense for him here. Jared Butler, 22 years old, clearly an elite scorer, at least at the summer league level, has done it at the highest level in the NCAA. I'm more than willing to take a shot on a guy like this.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch his college film, but I was watching the film in clips of him from the time he's played in the NBA and in the summer league, and I was really impressed. I felt like he had a nice game. He could handle the ball. He had some nice natural point guard ability, but definitely could score. Again, I'm not going to act like I know the ins and outs of Jared Butler's game, but I feel like he's the kind of guy that I look at and I could actually see him being in an NBA rotation one day. And I feel like that's the kind of guy that you want on a two-way deal. A guy that maybe just has had a couple setbacks, but can definitely play. So I feel like I'm really excited to have him. I'm excited to learn more about his game. And there's something about him when I watched that I was kind of like, yeah, this is a player I wouldn't mind seeing in the Wizards uniform. You know, he had a nice, enjoyable game to watch. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, like how some players just are like aesthetically pleasing. Like he kind of just has that game where it's like everything looks like he's playing at his own pace. And I like players like that where you're like, okay, he's not going too fast, he's not going too slow, he's able to get to his spots, he has a nice shot. And there's definitely some upside there. So that's the type of player that I want the Wizards to take little flyers on, just guys that have this, that have flashes of this upside that maybe they just haven't been in the right environment to kind of foster their abilities or haven't gotten the opportunity. And the Wizards, you know, like they need a point guard of the future. Not saying this is the guy, but I'd rather them, you know, take a flyer on him than keep no offense to Quentin Jackson, but to keep him around, because I haven't seen anything from Quentin Jackson that makes me think he's an NBA player. I think he's had a couple like nice moments here and there, which a lot of players have, because he's clearly like one of the best basketball players in the world in the grand scheme of things. But just in terms of, you know, the NBA, I just didn't think he was a NBA caliber player, to be honest, to the point you made. So I'm really happy with Butler. I'm excited.
Yeah. And he obviously, he comes from OKC. Will Dawkins has probably gotten a good look at him, but just having impressed in front of the Wizards summer league roster, probably was the best player in that game. Having played so well in front of Washington, he really earned a spot for himself. So I'm happy for him from that regard. Like, you play well in the summer league and you get rewarded for it. 22 years old, that's the exact kind of player that I'm looking for with one of my two-way spots. And I'm hoping the other two-way spot, we're getting someone kind of like that in that age range, someone that's shown a little bit at the G League level, shown a little bit in the summer league, that maybe they can take that next step. Like, that's what I'm looking for in our third two-way spot. I'm fine with taking a 26-year-old energy guy with one of them, but I want the other two to be young prospects that could potentially be, you know, rotation players for years to come.
Yeah, Chase, I'm definitely glad to have Butler on a two-way. It'll be interesting to see if and when and who they fill that third two-way spot with. I hope it's a big, but we'll just have to see what they do with it. Hopefully it's somebody that's, like you kind of mentioned, someone that's on the younger side of things. I don't think you want too many guys and that are already in their mid-20s. But I definitely kind of hope it's a big or a wing or something like that, like an actual wing, not kind of like Omari's, like a power forward type. But I digress. The Wizards did add some coaches to their coaching staff. I'm really excited about these coaches. So they added Brian Keefe and David Vanterpool. What do you know about these coaches, Chase, and are you excited about them?
I'm especially excited about David Vanterpool. We saw Damian Lillard just a couple seasons ago advocating for him to have been the Portland Trailblazers head coach. He was very key in the development of Dame, and as well as a guy like CJ McCollum. So I think when you look at the Wizards roster, they got a bunch of young guards, young wings that need developing. And these are a couple coaches that have shown that they can develop young talent. And obviously we've had our hangups with Wes Unseld Jr. We don't like some of the things he's done. And maybe his staff around him hasn't been the greatest. So what we wanted was some veteran leadership in that role next to him. And I think you get that in a guy like Vanterpool. Hopefully he's able to help Wes in some of his deficiencies, some of the areas he's not as great in. We need a guy like that next to him. And I think if a guy like Damian Lillard's advocating for you to be head coach, that clearly says something about the ability to develop a young guy.
Yeah, David Vanterpool, he was an assistant coach for the Blazers from 2013 through 2019, associate head coach for the Timberwolves from 2019 to 2021, assistant with the Nets from 21 to 22. He's interviewed for a bunch of head coaching jobs, just hasn't kind of connected on one yet. I'm excited about him for sure. I think he's most known for his player development around the league. That's kind of what he's hung his hat on. He's a DC native, or from the general area, I believe. And he's the kind of guy that I really wanted for the coaching staff, somebody that has a lot of experience developing other really good young or really good players around the league from when they were young, like Dame and CJ, like you mentioned, and obviously the young players on the Timberwolves he had a hand in developing as well. I feel like this is the kind of guy that Wes Unseld has needed on the staff, a guy that has some cachet. And I kind of mentioned this when we were talking about the potential of Jeff Van Gundy. I said that I never felt like the Wizards had an assistant coach that the head coach could look down and say, if I don't coach well, they could replace me with this guy. And I don't necessarily, not advocating for like an unhealthy coaching dynamic, but I think there is something about the strength of your assistants that you need to have an assistant on the staff that could potentially be a head coach. I mean, I felt like all their other assistants were like, oh yeah, none of these guys would be head coaches anywhere else, or even like candidates for head coaching jobs anywhere else. And now we have two guys that have interviewed for head coaching jobs recently and that have big players that have credited these guys with key pivotal roles in their development. To touch on Brian Keefe for a second, and admittedly, I'm not super familiar with Brian Keefe as I am with Vanderpool, but I found a clip on YouTube of Kevin Durant when this is back when he was on the Warriors, and he's talking about Brian Keefe, and he credits Brian Keefe for teaching him the game, with kind of instilling like the work ethic in him, being a pro, and he had really high praise for the development that Keefe helped him with during the time he was his coach. He's had stops. Keefe has had stops with the Nets, OKC, New York, and the Lakers as an assistant coach. And I think he was a video coordinator with the Spurs at a point in his younger years. So he's a guy that's been around. He's a guy that he's known for his ability to develop young guys. And that's kind of the commonality with these two hires, is they're guys that have one, have been sought after for other coaching jobs, at least have gotten interviews. There's enough interest to generate interviews for head coaching jobs. There have been successful assistants at other stops. And the player development piece is like the number one thing that people kind of sing their praises on. And we have young guys that need to be developed. So like, this is, you know, we got to need these guys on the coaching staff. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, man, we keep on bashing Wes Unseld Jr. And for good reason, he hasn't yet shown anything at the NBA level. I hope that changes for him. As we've mentioned before on the podcast, we're not looking for him to, I don't think we're looking at him in the scope of wins this year. I think we're looking at how he develops young guys, and hopefully with good young coaches next to him that advocate for player development, that we'll actually get that. And that's what I'm grading Wes Unseld Jr. on this season, is how do you develop the young draft picks? How do you develop the young talent on your roster that we just got in the building? Like, I'm not too worried about the record. If he gets a great record this year, wonderful, but that's not what I'm grading him on. I'm grading him on how he develops guys like Jordan Poole, how he develops guys like Bilal Coulibaly, and so on and so forth. That's how I'm going to grade him this year. And I hope that these hires help him achieve that goal.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to the point you're making about how Wes Unseld is going to be kind of graded as a coach. I really think he needs to show a lot of growth this year, with it being his third year. I feel like, you know, the first 2 years you can kind of get by on, you know, he's a new head coach, he's learning it. But now it's not about wins and losses, like you said, but the processes need to be right. The in-game adjustments need to be better. And I do wonder if he's going to feel a pressure with wins and losses on some level. I mean, I don't think the expectation organizationally is to be a playoff team, but I do wonder if you get to a point where, like, you know, I don't know, if you're losing like 10 games in a row or something, where it's going to be like, like, you know, it's not going to be looking as good for Coach Unseld. And I don't think they have the talent to like withstand. I don't think they have the talent for there not to be some good size losing streaks in the season. Like, I think they're going to go on like 6-game losing streak here, 5 here. Like, it's going to happen. But if he loses like 10 in a row, is it going to be kind of like, you know, that's a whole nother topic, I know, but it just got me thinking about it. Like, how is he going to be viewing his job, and how does that translate to the development of the young guys? Like, is he going to try to lean on a Shamit over a Johnny Davis? Because I think Shamit's a better NBA player than Davis right now. I mean, that's a low bar, but I think that no one wants to see Shamit get minutes over Johnny Davis right now. So if you're trying to win games, you probably would play Shamit over Johnny Davis. But if you're trying to develop, you know, obviously it's the other way. So you kind of wonder like how that's going to work, because I do think there is some level of pressure on Unseld to at least show some growth in certain areas. So I'm really excited, because I think that these coaches can at least – There's enough experience there to give Wes support. And I feel like that is something that the coaching staff really needed. And that's why I still want them to add Jeff Van Gundy. I don't know if their spots are all taken, but like, I really would love for them to still add Jeff Van Gundy. And kind of like, if they could add Jeff Van Gundy and they added these other two guys, Keith and Vanderpool, I would just, I like the front office would get a standing ovation from me, because I feel like that's the kind of real coaching backbone that this organization needs. You need high level. If you expect the players to develop and perform at a high level, you need good coaches. You need noteworthy coaches. Because if these players, they see Jeff Van Gundy, they know who he is. They're going to respect him. They're going to respect Vanderpool. They're going to respect Keith. And sometimes I wondered if Wes Unseld was like getting through to the guys in the first 2 years. I mean, he was coaching veterans, so it's a little different, but I just kind of wondered at times, like, are they hearing him? Because, you know, all the stories you hear with the Montrezl Harrell and KCP getting into it and, like, the Dinwiddie stuff. And, like, it just seemed like he didn't have as much control as you would hope for, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of the losses last year you can pin on Wes Unseld Jr. So I'm looking at it from the scope this year. Not looking at how many losses, I'm looking at how they lost. Like, were they up 25 points and blew a lead that you failed to call a timeout in? Like, that happened multiple times this past season. They blew a 36 point lead against the Clippers two seasons ago. Like, we've seen the Wizards lose games that you can directly attribute to coaching. So if they're losing games like that this season, yeah, I'll grade them on that. I'm not going to let him lose games that should be won. But at the same time, if he's playing the young guys, that's what I want. Like, if he's pulling young guys to put veterans in and they're losing, I don't want it. But if he's playing the young guys the way that they should, letting them play through mistakes, then I'll be somewhat happy with the direction, at least, that he's taken coaching. But I definitely, especially this season, need to see defense. That's what's supposed to be his calling card. We haven't seen it the first two seasons, and a lot of that has probably been the personnel hasn't been there for him. Well, I think you can look at it this season and say you kind of have a little bit better defenders in place. I guess Jordan Poole and those guys aren't exactly great defenders coming in, but you do have guys that can defend on your roster. I think Johnny Davis can absolutely defend at an NBA level this year. Is he going to play a guy like him? Like Bilal Coulibaly, I don't know if he'll immediately be an NBA level defender, but I think he has the traits there. Like, are you going to play him in a key defensive moment where you need a defensive stopper, or are you going to put in Corey Kispert? Like, I'm excited to see the direction that he goes coaching wise, but I need to see the development.
Yeah, well, let's kind of just transition right into the projected starting lineup, potentially. I know that there's nothing is in pen. We don't know what Coach Unseld's going to do, but I think the kind of the consensus thinking about what the coaching staff would do with the starting lineup is probably right now Tyus Jones, Jordan Poole, with Denny Abdia, Kyle Kuzma, and Gafford. Is that the lineup that you would start and that you want to see, or is it something different?
I personally don't want to see that as the starting lineup. I think heading into the summer league, that was what I would have penciled in as the starting lineup. But I think now that we've seen Johnny Davis play at a high level, at least in the summer league environment, high defensive level, I think he might make sense, or Bilal Coulibaly. I don't know if he's going to be ready, you know, day one of his rookie year, but I think eventually in the scheme of the season, he can get there. I want to see one of those guys probably in the starting lineup with Jordan Poole moving to the one. Tyus Jones has shown to be a very elite backup point guard in the league, and I think that's what he is. I would say the same thing about Monte Morris last season. He was pigeoned in as the starting point guard, and maybe he's just not a starting level guard. I think we've seen Tyus Jones as a very solid fill-in starting point guard, but I don't know at his size and his defensive ability next to Jordan Poole whether I really want that backcourt, especially if they throw a guy like Corey Kispert in maybe at the three. There's no defense there at that point. So I personally would love to see either Johnny Davis or Bilal Coulibaly in camp win that role. Obviously, they have to earn it. I'm not just giving it to them. If they play great in the preseason, if they play well, I want to see it at least tried out in the preseason, one of those guys in the starting lineup, because they need defense from somewhere. If Wes Unseld Jr. is such a defensive coach, where is that coming from? It's got to come from somebody at that two spot to me. So I think we've seen Jordan Poole filling in for Steph Curry with the Warriors at the one position when Steph Curry is out, and he thrived in that lead guard role as opposed to the two guard role. To me, I think he's not a true point guard by you know any stretch, but he's kind of, to me, maybe this is crazy to say, he's the new age Gilbert Arenas for the Wizards. He's the He's the young guy coming into Washington that you want the ball in his hands. He makes things happen offensively. He's not really a facilitator at, you know, the greatest stretch, but the dude gets buckets and you want the ball in his hands moving forward as opposed to Tyus Jones. Like, I mean, he's a good solid point guard, a great assist to turnover ratio like Monte Morris, but I think he's just better suited as a backup point guard. And I think he could be great in that role for Washington. We put Monte Morris in the wrong role for him. If he was a backup here, I think he would have been solid as well. And I just think it's how you perceive the player. I don't think he's a starting level point guard. He's a great guard. Don't get me wrong. He can fill in as a starter and you'll be pretty happy. But I want to see one of those defensive guards there at the two spot. We just don't have defense in there with Tyus Jones.
I do think the lineup that they will go with is the Tyus Jones and Poole backcourt. I just Agreed. Feel like that's very Wes Unseld. Like, okay, we got Monte Morris. He's like, we're slotting him in no matter.
A dependable point guard.
Yeah, yep. Like no matter if DeLon outplays him or not, like that's the guy we're going with. And that's how I kind of think the Tyus Jones thing is going to go. Like Tyus Jones is better than Monte Morris. Don't get me wrong. But to yes. me, Agreed. They're like, I was going to say different sides of the same coin, but that makes it sound like they're the same. I don't mean that. I think that Tyus is a better version of Monte Morris. Like, I don't think there's much upside in him being your starting point guard. I think he's a nice starting point guard. He's not going to hurt you turning over the ball. He's definitely better getting into the paint. He can shoot. Like, I like Tyus Jones. I just think that he's the safe. Like, oh, you know, we got him. Let's put him in starting point guard. And like, that's the safe thing to do. And that's why I would be shocked if Wes did something different than that. The more I think about it, I do think I would like to see them just give the keys to Poole and say, you're the guy that's going to have the ball as the lead guard, you know, at the start of every game. And when you're on the court, like you're our main guy. And let's just see him in that role. And we know he can play both on and off ball because we've seen it already. So we know he can do both. But can he be a lead guard? Like, we're not playing for anything this year other than development. Like, let's just see what Poole can do. I don't think I would put Johnny Davis in the starting lineup, like, under any circumstance. Unless he just, like, completely outplayed everybody in camp. I just can't see myself doing that. I think Bilal is a different story. Now, I think that is worthy of considering. But I just don't know if I love the spacing with Poole, Bilal, Denny, and Kuzma with Gafford. I just think that the paint would be kind of full there. Were you going to say?
There's where I take Denny out of the starting lineup.
Okay.
And put Kispert in at the three. So I think that the bench needs some facilitating. And I think we've seen Denny be a really solid sixth man. I think he played his best basketball last year coming off the bench when he wasn't in that starting lineup. Obviously, if they see a bigger role for him as a starter, by all means, keep him in there. If he develops that three ball that we really need to see from him, we need to see the left hand improve from him, and we need to see the three ball improve. If that does improve in the offseason, then absolutely he can play that 3-4 spot. But I eventually definitely want Bilal Coulibaly to be in that starting lineup, and I hope it happens this season. I guess we probably shouldn't expect it to happen immediately this season with him being just 19 years old, but if he shows the athleticism at the NBA level that he showed in the summer league, if he shows the defensive chops that he showed in the summer league, I immediately want him in that starting lineup. Like, and I'm just saying Johnny Davis because he fits that defensive role that I'm looking for. Do I want him to be the starting two? Not necessarily, but I think if you look at the OKC-led teams of the past, we saw an offensive guard like James Harden coming off the bench for a defensive guy like Thabo Sefolosha. Like, I'm not saying Johnny Davis is Thabo, but maybe he can fill in that kind of role for the Wizards that they need. We don't have a James Harden off the bench or anything, but I'm looking at the two guard spot next to a guy like Jordan Poole. You need a defensive player to me, like hopefully a 3-and-D. Hopefully Johnny Davis or Bilal starts to develop that eventually. It's not going to be this season for Bilal, but I want him to be in that starting lineup eventually for sure.
I think that the lineup that would make the most sense to me if you're putting Poole at the one would be playing Kispert at the two, even though I don't love the defense. I don't know what construction that they would realistically put out there that would be benefit, like that would be sufficient on both sides of the ball, other than if they just started DeLon at the one and then Poole at the two, which I just know they're not going to do. So I'm not even really going to enter. They're not going to do that. So I'm
See,
not going
I would love that. But I'm not even saying, like, I would love that starting lineup. I just don't think it's happening,
Yeah, it's
is
just
where
not
I'm at on
happening.
it.
So that's
Yeah.
why I'm not even like really considering DeLon like as a starter in any capacity. Like if I feel like if I was coaching and I was really trying to win games next year, like okay, how many games can I squeeze out of this roster? I would start DeLon. But I don't think that's what they're gonna do. I think that in terms of what's realistic, I think that I personally would like to see Poole, Kispert, Denny, Kuzma, and Gaff. I think you get floor spacing. I want to see Kispert play. I want to see Denny play. I don't really want either of them to be on the bench because to start the games because I think that they're just at a point where like we need to see what these guys can be in a real offense. And that lineup would at least give you it, look, they're not going to be good on defense. Like I feel like that ship is just not it's not happening. So I'm not even gonna try to say, well, they really need to put another defender because I'm just like they're not going to start Johnny Davis. It's just not. And I think that Bilal, there is some maybe shot if he really plays well in camp or something, but I just feel like they're going to bring him along slower than that and not throw him that deep into the fire and start him. So I feel like the if they're willing to put Poole at the one to start the game, I feel like Kispert just makes the most sense. He's not a good defender, but he's at least gonna try, and they're already gonna be bad. They're gonna be bad with Tyus starting at the one too. So I feel like no matter which way you slice this, they're gonna be a bad defensive team. They're gonna be a bad defensive backcourt. It's just kind of the way it's gonna be. And I feel like I would just, if it was me coaching, I would just put Poole out there with Kispert and that would be the backcourt along with the three other players I named. So I feel like they're gonna start Tyus, excuse me. And I would be shocked if Wes Unseld went a different direction because he just seems like the kind of guy that's like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play Anthony Gill. I'm gonna play Xavier Cooks, like, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm joking about that, but kind of. But I do think that he's just gonna start Tyus, and we're probably wasting our time.
Yeah, probably are. I think the definite expected lineup is Tyus Jones at the one, Jordan Poole at the two. I would put Denny there at the three, Kuzma at the four, and then Gafford at the five. I think that's the expected starting five that we should probably have in our minds, like, this is what it's going to be. But as a podcast in the off season trying to cook something up, like, this is what I'm coming with, man. I would love to see a defensive minded player there.
Yeah.
Obviously it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. We're not trying to win this year, but as if they were, like, if Wes Unseld Jr. truly was trying to showcase how good of an NBA coach he can be, like, I think that's what makes sense, at least, would be DeLon, right, as a non-lead guard. That's really the lineup I want. But I don't think Wes Unseld Jr. has shown the want to start DeLon at the point guard position, even if they have a guy like Poole next to him, which I feel like those two would just make so much sense next to each other.
Yeah, they definitely make sense. I feel like the front office also brought Tyus in to start. I feel like that's just what they envisioned when they made that move was we're getting our starting point guard while flipping Porzingis for another asset, which is a pick. And like that was kind of the whole point. Like we're getting our starting point guard who maybe we can flip down the road, but it's someone that can play. He's relatively young. And I don't want this to sound like either of us are unhappy with Tyus Jones. Like, there's nothing against him. I actually think he's a really solid player. And if he starts, I'm not going to be mad about it. It just to me is the safest route. It's not something that has any risk. It's just the obvious thing to do. And I think letting Poole have more ball handling responsibility from the jump, like he's obviously going to have the ball a ton, but I think that would just be more interesting. It would be let's really see what we have in terms of like just giving him the full keys. But maybe, we did see with Poole, I think that maybe lost a little bit in all the excitement about him. And I'm really excited about him is that he really did have some baffling like turnovers and things last year, and I or last season, excuse me. And I feel like that's the argument against starting him at point, is that when he did play point last year, there was a lot of like sloppiness and kind of plays that left you like, what was he doing right there? And I think some of it was a sense I think some of it was in part that he wasn't as mentally in it as he was the previous season, in terms of, I think the Draymond thing that we don't need to like rehash for the 100th time, but I think that whole thing just, it kind of put a dark cloud over Jordan Poole's season. And I feel like it's kind of hard to judge it fully. I think he had some good moments and some bad moments. But I do think as a lead guard, I do think he'd have a lot of turnovers and kind of plays that we would wonder like, oh, like what is he really kind of cut out for the lead guard role? But he'd also have some phenomenal moments too. That's kind of ebb and flow, I think, of a player like Jordan Poole as your lead ball handler. But I do think that that's something that we as Wizards fans need to remember, that there is a reason why Golden State was okay trading him aside from his contract. Some of it was the bad decision-making with the ball and the sloppiness, which we can withstand here in DC more than the Warriors could, because they're trying to compete for a championship and the Wizards aren't. So it's a different scenario, but I'm just saying that is a part of why Golden State was okay moving on from him, was because of some of the sloppiness.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Like, he obviously next to Tyus Jones wouldn't have as much of that air, likely to have air being the point guard. Tyus Jones would probably make sense to him next to him from an offensive perspective. It's the defensive perspective that I'm looking at these two. Who are they guarding? Like, they're both probably should be on the worst guard on the opposing team, and neither of them, you know, which one are you putting on a Steph Curry, for example? Like, both of them are getting cooked against solid point guards in the league, or solid two guards in the league. So I'm worried about it from that perspective. Offensive perspective, I think it makes sense. A guy like Tyus Jones leading the league in assist to turnover ratio, like he's just like Monte Morris from that perspective, is not going to lose you a game. And he is, like you mentioned before, I think he is a little bit better than Monte Morris at attacking the lane. Maybe he provides a little bit more of a impact on the defensive end than Monte Morris does, but not a great impact. I just think we saw last season a Monte Morris and Corey Kispert lineup, for example, just couldn't defend anybody. And I think you look at those two in exchange of guys like that, like, you're still not going to get that defense from the guard position. So I'm a little worried there. I think we should all hope that Bilal eventually takes the reins there. It's probably not going to be this season, but if everything goes the way that the Wizards should want it to, it should be Poole takes that next step and Bilal fills in as that defensive athlete there at the two. Like, I think that's the best case scenario that happens out of this.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I definitely want to see Bilal at least get up to like heavy minutes by midway through the season. I do think they're going to bring him along slow if I had to bet, and I doubt that they would kind of throw him into the fire that deep, but I definitely don't want them to hesitate with giving him a lot of minutes and that type of thing. I want to ask you about, or at least talk to you about, kind of the reaction to those initial pictures that came up on social media about Jordan, like with Jordan Poole when he first was doing his media with the Wizards, and he like didn't have a fresh cut and his beard was straggly, and people were acting like he was so sad to be in DC, and like people were talking about, oh, he's in the sunken place and all these different things. And I was literally looking at the pictures and I was like, he just looks like someone that probably was on like vacation, got traded, had to come fly to DC to take pictures and do media. He didn't have time to get a cut or like, you know, shave his beard, and he's doing these pictures and you're kind of like handed a phone, hey, do a quick video saying, hey, Wizards fans, like it people were reading so much into, oh, he's so miserable. And, you know, with being on the Wizards, and I just thought it was so interesting that they had these pictures of him where he's not smiling, but there's also like three or four pictures of him smiling that came out around the same time. And people only retweeted the pictures of him frowning, or not frowning, but him not like looking just kind of blank faced with like, you know, just a blank look on his face or whatever. And people were like, oh my gosh, like he's, you know, so unhappy or whatever. And I thought that reaction was so interesting, but I feel like it was just kind of a people just wanted to make fun of the Wizards type of thing, where it's like, oh, he went from like from the Warriors to the Wizards, like, you know, kind of ha 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 type thing. But I thought it was so interesting. And I was like, you guys really think that this guy is sad to leave the team where one of the guys that was supposed to be his mentor punched him in the face, and then he had a weird season? Because like, you guys don't think that he's probably looking forward to having a fresh start and an opportunity to like run his own team? I just thought that was so interesting. Did you have a thought about that? Did that register with you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to make fun of the Wizards. We know, like, we as our own fan base have gone through the struggles of being Wizards fans, but yeah, it's funny to make fun of the Wizards from the outside perspective. But no, he should absolutely be happy to be a Wizard by all accounts. He gets out of a really terrible situation there in Golden State where, as you said, his mentor, someone who's supposed to be a leader of the team, just about knocks him out in practice, and the video goes viral. They don't suspend him at all. Like, they just let him play game one. They try to brush it under the rug like nothing ever happens. Like, if that's me, I'm super upset about that. Like, you don't care about me enough to suspend this guy. Like, clearly there's going to be a lot of tension throughout the season, and they still ask him questions about it to this day. I think he's super excited to be getting out of that environment and a place where conceivably he's going to be a lead guard here, one of the top players on the team. They're taking pictures of him and Kuzma as the leaders of the team. Like, he was a sixth man in Golden State, and he got a lot of opportunity to start obviously when guys went down, but he has a championship under his belt there. He's achieved what he could as that sixth man, and now I think he wants to spread his wings as a leader and really get the shot opportunities that he wants. Like, he's going to get nothing but opportunities here in Washington. He's going to be the lead guard. I would not be surprised if he averages more than 25 points per game this year. He's going to get the shots. Like, who's going to take the shots away from him other than Kyle Kuzma? No one. So he should absolutely be happy to be in Washington, despite what all the jokes say. Yeah, he came without a haircut. Who cares? Like, it's funny to laugh at the Wizards now, but by all accounts, he should be absolutely happy to be here.
I think it's interesting because it's none of those Warriors young guys have panned out fully yet. So it's like, well, obviously Jordan Poole has panned out well, but I mean like Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman. Like, Wiseman got traded. Moody's an okay role player so far, and Kuminga has shown flashes, but he's basically been demanding like either trade me or give me a bigger role this upcoming season. And I'm saying this to say that it's funny to me that people are acting like that environment is so much better for a player like Jordan Poole than the Wizards would be. And I'm thinking the Warriors didn't really have that great of a season last year. If you really look at it, like, they didn't have a great season. It was very up and down. They had losing streaks. It was, to me, the environment was kind of toxic for a guy like Jordan Poole, and the young guys there don't seem all that happy with the situation in terms of, I'm sure they're happy to play with Steph Curry, but they're not getting the development and the reps maybe that they want to grow. So I kind of just thought it was interesting that just based off of him, the way his face looked in these pictures, that people were jumping to these proclamations that he was going to be unhappy, or that he was unhappy, or that he wasn't feeling being in DC. Because if you look at his social media now, he has like a wizard in his like next to his name. Yeah. He's posted about being with the team. Him and Kuzma are posting like pictures that they've taken with each other and things like that. And I'm like,
deleted everything from his Warriors days,
right,
too.
Like, does this look like a guy that has had a great past calendar year? I feel like he needed a fresh start. And what better to go to a place that's really just going to let you have the keys, that you've already won a ring, and now it's time to kind of expand your game, expand what you can do on the court, and this is a great opportunity to do so. So I just thought it was interesting, and I know that the Wizards are kind of just a punching bag for jokes and things like that, but it's just funny that even when you make a trade that's a clear win, or you do something, the organization is making smarter moves, people still take the time to be like, oh yeah, like they suck, like kick them while they're down type of thing. Like, You know, I just thought that that was interesting. But I think that Poole is going to embrace being in DC, and I think he's going to. No one likes losing, right? And they're probably not going to win a lot of games. So I think there are going to be tough moments. But I think players like him, players like Kuzma, they want to show that they can play at an all-star level. Now, I don't necessarily think Kuzma is an all-star caliber player, but I do think in terms of his own goals, he's trying to do that. And you know, Jordan Poole is too. Like there, that he wants to show that he can be a lead guard. And you need an opportunity to do that, right? Like at one point, Monte Ellis was the main guard in Golden State, and Steph Curry was the up and young, you know, the up and comer. And they kind of had to get Monte up out of there so Curry could fully blossom because it wasn't a good fit on the court, right? So it's not the same exact scenario. But what I'm saying is Poole was under Steph Curry and Klay, and he wasn't able to fully show what he could do on the consistent basis. We saw flashes. We saw games where he really balled out. But I think that this is a phenomenal opportunity for Poole where he can show what he can do. You have a city and a fan base that's starving for like entertaining product. Like that's, we all want to win, right? But what I feel like we want the most is I just want to see a team that is fun to watch. Like when's the last time you really thought the team was fun? It was like the 2016-17 season, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I put it. And you mentioned we're hungry for someone to follow. We're hungry for a young talent. Like when's the last time we had a young player on the Wizards that we looked at and we're like, this guy could be a star. Like I would say it's probably was Bradley Beal, like when he was up and coming as the number two guy. Like I think that's the last time we had a young guy that we looked at. We're like, he could be an all-star level. And Bradley Beal ended up becoming that. Like I think Jordan Poole, if he reaches his ceiling, he's absolutely an all-star level player. And he's able to reach that here in Washington, whereas his opportunities were limited in Golden State. So I think he should absolutely be happy with where he is now. And it's funny to joke the Wizards, but it's clearly a new day in Washington. And I'm happy with the direction we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good place to kind of leave us. I'm really happy with where the direction of the team is going. I'm excited to see Poole, to see Kuzma, and see what they can do together. I definitely have come around to like the Kuzma signing even more than I did initially. I don't think we mentioned this on the pod, and we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but the details of the contract came out, and the contract for Kuzma is a descending contract, which makes it, I mean, that's a home run deal. I believe it's only like $92 million guaranteed or something like that. And then the rest are just incentive based or something along those lines. And it's descending. So the first 2 years, you know, obviously are more than the last two, but I just thought that was amazing work. And I by the front office, and I just wanted to kind of give them the kudos on that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe it was $86 million of it was guaranteed. Okay. So even better. Nice. It was closer to Dylan Brooks' contract than to Jeremy Grant's contract. So we mentioned before these details even came out how we really liked. Or at least I mentioned I really liked the contract. I really liked the player. I think he fits the timeline. So with it being a descending contract, even better. I'm super happy with what this front office has done this offseason, bringing a guy like Kuzma back with a descending contract. It'll be much easier to trade down the line if you want to. But at the end of the day, that's also a contract that's not going to cost too much on the books for yourself if the team does end up taking that next step. Like that's a great player to have in the building. So great job by the front office. I liked it at the time and I love it now.
Yeah, I definitely, that descending contract was great work by the front office, and I think it's a fair deal for Kuzma as well. So I'm just excited. I think that the direction is very positive. There's a nice mix of young guys with a variety of skill sets. I still want to see them add some type of veteran big. I know that's something you want to see as well. So hopefully we'll get some news on that going forward. Obviously, as more news comes in throughout the offseason, I hope it's not too dry. Like, hope we at least get some type of trickle of a Wizards news. But we'll definitely have plenty of pods coming for you guys. We'll get back on kind of that weekly schedule, at least at a minimum. Now that you know, my AC is back on and I'm kind of back to normal here. But Chase, do you have anything else for us before we get out?
No, man, it's been great talking Wizards. I've missed it for the past couple weeks. So definitely plan on getting a bunch more of these out this offseason. Life doesn't feel right without the Wizards to me, which is probably concerning.
I was going to say, it might be a little sad for both of us, but yeah. I agree with you. But I agree with you. Well, all right, we'll get out of here. You can find Chase and I on Twitter. Chase, what's your handle again?
@ChaseCarroll_.
And I'm @RyanBOliver, and we'll talk to you guys on the next one.